Well, folks, the clock on the clubhouse wall says it is time to get started. It is the top of the hour. You are on Mastermind Leaders Q&A number 9. My name is Mark Horn, and it is my pleasure to introduce someone who we have not had the pleasure of being on the call for a couple of times and are so glad to welcome back Ben Mack.
Thank you so much, Mark Horn. Honor and pleasure to be here. Excited for our training tonight. And I just stumbled across something that's exciting that is happening on 999. And that's that Focus Features is releasing a movie called Nine.
Called Nine on 999.
It's a new feature by Tim Burton. And it is a wake-up call to the world about the possibilities of the reverberations of the energy that we put out there, and it says that we're awakening something. And I certainly agree that with every breath, with every word, with every action that we do, we are awakening things in ourselves, and with the energies we radiate, we're awakening things in those that are living with us on this beautiful spaceship Earth.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. Thank you for that, Ben.
Most welcome, Mark, and thank you for stewarding our training with our group of mastermind leaders. I know that Andrew Carnegie held that masterminding was the key to his rise to success, and he was the wealthiest man in the world in the 1930s when many people around the world found themselves most economically challenged. And I'm grateful for our leaders that are with us tonight. As we learn to mastermind and as we learn to group problem solve, because this spaceship Earth that we're on together has a need for more collective, creative problem solving. And so, Mark Horn, I'm honored to be with you as part of your team and excited for what tonight will unfold for us.
Fantastic, Ben. Our mastermind Q&A number 9 in the series, and we are going to, as always, depend on our listeners our participants, our partners in masterminding to raise their hands and provide the content, provide questions, bring those questions for us so that we can answer, because I guarantee you the question that you have is the same question that others have. So we'd love for you to ask your questions, and to do that, you will hit *2 on your touchtone phone, and that will raise your hand on this end. And Ben, while we're waiting on folks to hit *2 so that we can create some live interactive content here, which is always so delicious, I want to cover a couple of quick things. Tonight actually ends our professional mastermind leaders contest. In less than 3 hours at 12:01 a.m. on Monday, July the 27th, our contest will end, and everyone will have to get their accounting to me. This has been going on over on our Ning group, and we will get you paid your dollar for your qualified mastermind so that you can get over that hurdle of being a professional mastermind leader. And with that, let's see if we have any hands up. Let me refresh the page. Ben, I did have a question that just came in on the Instant Teleseminar site. And let's go ahead and go for that. And I believe this one goes along with what you were talking about. This is from Peter in Mexico. And Peter asks, what significance does the upcoming date 999 have to you?
That's a fantastic question, Mark Horn. Did you want to field that first, or shall I jump in?
Well, I will quickly field, because I know that is Good Energy Day, and then I would like you to go ahead and take that and go.
Awesome. Thank you, Mark. The significance of 999 is a meaning or a significance that was, for me, that was seeded by Rich Wakefield, who identified that we've only got 4 symmetry days left in this millennium, or in our lifetime, that is at 999, 10-10-10, 11-11-11, and 12-12-12, are simply days that have internal symmetry. And one thing that Rich Wakefield thought about is, you know what, since we've got 4 of these, What if we were to make them special days? What if we were to take these days of simple symmetry and make them about celebrating the human spirit? If we were to create a day that was simply about being nice to one another, you know, we've got days that celebrate flags, we've got days that celebrate the earth, we've got days that celebrate dead presidents here in the United States, and while those presidents are worthy of celebration, wouldn't it be nice if there were a day for the rest of us, a day to celebrate being human? And building on that idea, Rich Wakefield came up with the notion that perhaps at 9:09 in the morning on 999, that we might seek to try a global experiment. When Albany State University said that they would love to headquarter it on their campus, it became 9:09 in the morning, Eastern Standard Time for the United States, and because that Albany State University is in Albany, Georgia. So at 9:09 in the morning, 9 seconds, we're going to have rocket scientist Mark Fox is going to be leading a global experiment. President Freeman of Albany State University will be in Phoenix, Arizona, where I believe it'll be 6:09 in the morning. But what we're going to be doing is experiencing whatever good energy means to us. And the idea is that if we get people around the globe experiencing whatever good energy means to them, there's a possibility that folks simply focusing on good energy might be able to have a measurable impact on this planet. And as Mark Fox was educating me earlier this week, you know, thoughts are radio waves, and thoughts are energy. And when we put out good energy radio waves, there's the possibility that all of those waves circulating around the globe will harmonize and create a crest of good energy. And we're looking forward to seeing if this crest of good energy might be readable through the different scientific measuring tools that we have on this planet. For instance, NASA regularly and the National Weather Service regularly monitors our planet in different ways. Specifically, one is in infrared. And we want to see if by having as many people as we can focusing on what good energy means to them, if it's not measurable, if we can't see an energetic difference from outer space. Because wouldn't that be exciting?
Ben, that would be awesomely exciting.
Yes. So, Mark Horn, that's what 999 means to me. It's an opportunity for us to step into good energy. It's an opportunity for us to have a dress rehearsal for 10-10-10. And 10-10-10, 11-11-11, and 12-12-12, I hope to see a celebration of what Buckminster Fuller suggested was a three-step program in order to elevate us out of our crisis of perception. Because right now amongst us humans on the planet, we have what it takes in order to recomport ourselves into a sustainable system. And Buckminster Fuller said that there is a three-step process that he imagined would do that. The first step would be playing a game, a simple game that he called the world game. The second step would be to create a global energy network. And the third step would be to get clean, drinkable water to every human on the planet. And so 999 is going to be a day of planning. 999 is going to be a dress rehearsal for the kickoff of that three-step process in terms of celebrating it on 10-10-10. And on 10-10-10, we hope to have as many folks around the globe playing the world game as we can get enrolled. For those of us that are here with children or with friends that have children, I imagine it's as important to you as it is to me that we seek to create a sustainable planet. And if you look at our energy consumptions, if we look at the stability of this fragile spacecraft that we're on that many call Earth, then it is incumbent upon us to seek ways that we can create our energy systems to be statically indeterminate. And what it means to be statically indeterminate is that you can simply see that it can extend for the foreseeable future. And Good Energy Day is a day for us to celebrate what it is to bring good energy into the world, and that begins with respect, respecting ourselves, respecting our neighbors, respecting the earth, and respecting the vibrations that we radiate out amongst all of us.
Ben, that is awesome. And we can take part in Good Energy Day on 999 to kick that off no matter where we are on the planet, right?
Exactly. We're going to be organizing things with the help of Chuck Pennington through goodenergymovement.com. And so for our friends that are listening, if you go to goodenergymovement.com, that's where you can sign up to get updates. That's where you can learn about how we're organizing on Twitter. And all of the tools that we're using to promote Good Energy Day are tools that we can use to promote our local mastermind. They're tools that we can use to get our messages out there and to enroll folks into the programs that we imagine will serve our communities.
Absolutely. That's very significant, Ben. Thank you so much for sharing that and tying that together with our mastermind in that way. So mark your calendars, folks. This is the kickoff of something absolutely exciting. 999-10-10-10-11-11-11. And Ben, it is 12-12-12, correct?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Let's. Are we ready for a question? Another question, I should say.
Now is the time when folks can raise their hands to ask a question or enter online their questions. And Mark, if folks have dialed in directly, how do they raise their hand to ask a question live?
They will touch *2 on their touch-tone phone, and that will raise your hand. And we have a caller with a hand raised. Let's go ahead, caller. I'm going to unmute you. We want you to state your name, the category of your question, and your question, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Nitsan. Go ahead, please.
Yes, this is Nitsan. Hello to everyone. The category of my question is the involvement of the director. And
director, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So the mastermind director.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and I just directed a mastermind where the participants began complaining that I was too stiff. And
Nitsan, I need to interrupt you. I need to hear a question from you, my friend.
Ah, thank you. Should a director remain so bound by the format that he does not allow himself to be involved? Should he remain aloof, or should he be involved?
Okay. Let me bring some clarity to this. First of all, the only masterminds that you've been doing are interpersonal masterminds. They are going to be... When you are doing mastermind director work, that is going to be a different kind of mastermind. And yes, you're going to not only want to stick with the proven format in your interpersonal masterminds, but you're going to want to have that same format adhered to as a mastermind director in that field of the work. Ben, what else might we add here to make this clear for not only Nitsan but everyone listening?
Can I say something that might help clarify my question?
Let's let Ben go first, please, Nitsan. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Mark Horn, and thank you, Nitsan, for asking such an engaging question. And it is wonderful when folks give us their candid take on how our energies are radiating and resonating to them. And so, Nitsan, if there is folks that are experiencing you as too stiff, then one of the things, and when they vocalized it, no matter what, it becomes a form of reality because there were folks in the group that felt compelled to share that. And when they did share it, there wasn't anybody speaking up, or from what you've reported, there wasn't anybody speaking up and saying, no, that ain't so. The purpose of the mastermind is to serve those that are the mastermind participants. When we are mastermind directors, the mastermind actually belongs to the participants. And we are there to see in what ways we might best serve them. And so I've noticed in terms of Mark Horn and Kim Burney's style that, boy, they do a fantastic job of dancing that delicate line between maintaining the flow and the control and inspiring folks to take actions that contribute to their success and the success of the other participants. So there might be ways that you might want to look at their comments and ask yourselves, in what ways might you be able to better serve that group?
Nathan, is that helpful, my friend?
Yes, it is helpful. Should I go to the end of the line if I have another question?
Go ahead. Let me go ahead and mute you. Do *2 again to raise your hand, and we'll get back to you when we get through. Fantastic. Ben, I have a question here from the 631 area. Caller, we want your name, please, and then please state the category of your question and your question.
Hi, it's Joyce Hansen calling.
Hi, Joyce.
The question is regarding the disruption of the mastermind series.
Okay, hold on. Well, what's the category then? The mastermind series, could we label that category? Okay, fantastic.
Yes.
And your question, please.
Is how do you handle a disruption in your series? In other words, I had an interruption this week because of people and their vacation schedules who could not participate. And so we're not having a mastermind meeting this week, and we will rejoin again next week. And it suddenly occurred to me, what other kinds of events, or if other people had this kind of experience, what do you do?
Okay, fantastic question. Thank you, Joyce, for asking, because I can relate to everyone on the call as a professional mastermind leader. That's happened to me, and especially this time of year here in the States, it's vacation time. And a lot of folks are going. What I simply do is make sure that our very next mastermind for the following week is scheduled and taken care of on that end. Okay? I'd like to know a little more about what you might be wanting to find out here, Joyce.
Well, you kind of lose the momentum in that week of disruption. And so do people come back, and are they ready to pick up where they left off, or is there something that you have to, in a sense, prime the pump to get them back on track? What's been your experience?
Fantastic. I love the way that you phrased that. Something that I will do personally with folks in my masterminds, I will stay in touch with them by email, okay, and make sure that they're brought up to date on anything. And then as the mastermind leader, as a professional mastermind leader, it actually falls upon us. And this kind of goes back to what Ben was just sharing with Nitsan about the mastermind belonging to those members, okay? But as the mastermind leader, I feel it is in our best interest and the members of our mastermind to help move that conversation through, help pick up where it was, or simply allow the participants to create the content and move forward on their own.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Does that help you?
Very much so, yes.
Fantastic. Ben, anything you would like to add to that, please, my friend?
I think you well fielded that question, Mark. You are absolutely right that one of the values about being a mastermind director that we provide to the participants is creating the framework and the stability for the group. From what I've read and from what I've researched and from what I've experienced firsthand, the number one reason why most masterminds fail is that they lack a consistency. And so us as the mastermind directors or mastermind leaders or whatever it is that we seek to call ourselves, create that infrastructure. And when we can let people know what the schedule is and how things are going to go in a way in which speaks into our participants' listening, letting them know, hey, we're taking that week off for a holiday or X, Y, or Z, so that people know what to expect, and then we remind them. One thing that is often the case I see out there is that there's an extraordinarily different experience being a participant versus being the producer of an event. So many folks, when they produce an event, imagine that they can put out one message and that everyone will mark their calendar and show up. And yet those of us that are participants in events regularly need many reminders in order to remind us of the commitments that we've made or to remind us of the possibility that we were considering. And so to that end, when we're producing an event, when we're a mastermind director, we want to kindly and respectfully remind folks of what our schedule is. That's one of the reasons why at the end of the masterminds, we let people know when the next time that we're meeting is. And that's one of the reasons why many mastermind directors will send out at least once, sometimes more than that, reminders of that the mastermind is starting. I know that many mastermind directors out there will send an email the day before and then, or the evening before, and then send an email an hour before the mastermind begins, simply as a kind reminder to the folks to allow them to go, oh, that's right, I've got that coming up. And those reminders are so helpful for so many people, and those kinds of reminders are what increase the show rate. And having participants participate is the number one driver in terms of their getting value, is getting the folks on the phone at the right time and reminding folks of when things are scheduled is the best way to get folks to show up.
Absolutely, Ben. And that was wonderful. Very appropriate, very pointed. So please, folks, take notes of that. Go back and listen to this on the recording, because what you just received from Ben Mack was solid gold, okay? Now, Joyce, I would add one more quick thing. You're running a professional mastermind. These people have invested monies to be with you, okay?
Yes.
Anything that we can do to help them consume, to help them pull the value away from the mastermind, absolutely anything that we can do is definitely in your best interest as a mastermind leader, as a professional mastermind leader. Okay? That's my basic rule of thumb, so I share that with you.
Yes, thank you both, Mark and Ben. That was very good.
Thank you, Joyce. We appreciate your question.
Mark, I received a question online from a Jeffrey A. Martin, and it's a little obtuse, but I'm going to throw it out there because since he's, I guess, listening in, I'm going to answer, or would love the opportunity to answer his question, if that's okay with you.
Ben, this is the perfect opportunity. Go right ahead.
Thank you. He writes, your profile and comments make me wonder if you feel you experience a degree of non-symbolic, and then he writes a parenthetical, enlightenment, non-dual, mystical, et cetera, consciousness. and he says, yes, do you? Jeffrey, thank you so much. That is a fantastic question. I'm not entirely certain what non-symbolic consciousness is. I imagine that non-symbolic consciousness might be simply being alive. I think that non-symbolic consciousness might be a lack of being conscious of what it is to have free will. I happen to admire what Einstein said at the end of his life, which is that humanity will be well served to the extent that we study the nature of intelligence. And Harvard professor Timothy Leary said that the next evolution of humanity will be contelligence, becoming conscious of intelligence. And so I want to thank our listener, Jeffrey Martin, for that fantastic question. And the short answer is, I don't quite understand you, buddy. So with that, Mark, I'm going to turn it back to you to see who else has raised their hand or has entered a question online.
Then we have a question that's actually a second part from Peter in Mexico on the webcast side of things, and it feels so appropriate to ask you this. Do you have any opinions on cosmography?
I have too many to share within the time constraints that we have here. And I'm not sure if our friend from Mexico is speaking about the R. Buckminster Fuller book titled Cosmography, or if he is referring to the general word cosmography. For those that are listening, cosmography is basically your perception of reality. For me, I hold that somebody's religion is reality with a capital R. And another word for religion or reality with a capital R would be your cosmography. And so our cosmography is simply the way that we perceive the world around us. And the way that we perceive the world around us is influenced by the patterns in which we think. I certainly have noticed for myself that when I've made small shifts in my thinking pattern, that it affects me from the inside out. One of the things that I learned from the Creative Problem Solving Institute, which was the brain trust that Osborne set up in his life. Osborne is the man who coined the term brainstorm. And when Osborne coined the term brainstorm, he specifically did not trademark it. He specifically did not put an exclusive copyright on it. Osborne, who is the O in BBDO, the world's largest ad agency, Osborne saw Brainstorm and the Creative Problem Solving Institute as his gift to humanity. And one of the keys to brainstorming, to creative problem solving, one of the keys to the profitable momentum within brainstorming is to defer judgment. Now, the idea of deferring judgment is often misquoted in brainstorming as there's no such thing as a bad idea. Well, that shorthand doesn't, from my perspective, accurately reflect what Osborne was talking about. What Osborne was talking about is that in the phase of brainstorming, during the ideation phase, when we come up with new ideas, that there's value in deferring judgment. That doesn't mean that there aren't bad ideas. What it means is that we don't label the ideas as good or bad during the ideation process. And one of the ways to maintain the profitable momentum, one of the ways to get more ideas out of a group, is to speak in the affirmative. So as opposed to folks saying no but, we can use a segue yes and. So even if we have a different idea, even if we have an idea that in a more judgmental frame of mind might feel at odds with somebody else, as opposed to saying no but, Osborne found it was more profitable to say yes and. One of the things I've discovered in my life is as I have systematically removed the no's and buts from my day-to-day vocabulary, I'm a happier person, and I find the people around me a lot more agreeable.
Interesting. Just by consciously focusing on yes and, Ben?
Absolutely, Mark. Thank you for asking. When we as mastermind directors will answer questions, if somebody says something and we keep our language in the affirmative, it helps maintain the good energy of the group. And I found for myself that as I've taken some of these tools of masterminding and incorporated them into my own life, I find that I'm able to accomplish things with a greater ease and grace than I was before I incorporated some of these tools. Now, to go off into some of my own personal perspective here, since we've jumped into cosmography, and I've got a little bit of a background in terms of philosophy, although I'm not traditionally trained, what I've discovered for myself is that it is truly unprovable whether or not humans have free will. And while it is not provable as to whether or not we have free will, I have found that I'm happier choosing to see myself as having free will. Similarly, it's not provable from everything that I've seen, it's not provable as to whether or not the world, the universe around us, is perfect or imperfect. What I've discovered for myself is I tend to be happier when I view the world as perfect. And so when I have one of those glaring thoughts that goes through my mind that says the world's an imperfect place, what I recognize is that there's an opportunity for me to go, you know what, my expectations weren't met. The world's a perfect place, and I had an expectation that didn't come through to fruition. And so in that moment, there's a beautiful opportunity for me to see how I had some sort of presupposition that allowed me to go down a reality tunnel that didn't manifest itself. And as I have fewer presuppositions that don't manifest themselves, I have fewer surprises that jar me, and I find that I am more easily able to go with the flow, flow with the curves, and being in that state of flow is what allows for a lot of doors to open up and for people to invite me into situations and scenarios that previously I hadn't been invited into before. Mark, did I go too esoteric there for our listeners?
Ben, I don't feel that you did. For me, it felt very appropriate as we're talking about mastermind directors and professional mastermind leaders, and with the cosmography, we have that opportunity to present for someone to move forward, to view things in a different way, to hear things in a different way, to experience things in a different way. And so I felt it very appropriate what you shared and gave to the group here. Thank you.
Most welcome. I'm grateful for, what is our gentleman friend's name that's down in Mexico?
That would be Peter.
Awesome. Peter, thanks so much for a thought-provoking question.
I believe Peter possibly is a Twitter friend. I'm not sure.
Awesome. I know who Peter is. Absolutely, Peter is a Twitter friend. Peter, it promoted the call tonight. It's Peter Palatnik. Awesome,
yes.
Question,
yes.
Peter.
Fantastic. Yes, and Peter, we certainly want you to appreciate the question and the follow up on cosmography because it brought along some wonderful things with that. So thank you, Peter, for bringing
that
Mark
to the
call.
Mark, we've got a couple listeners that might be new to the group because I invited folks that were interested. Somebody on Twitter had asked about our coaching program, and so we might have a listener or two where this might be their first call. And so would you mind sharing with folks how they can get involved with our Ning group and how they can learn how to become professional mastermind leaders?
Ben?
Did we lose you, Markhorn?
No, there. I believe I'm back. I was having a microphone switch.
I understand that happens to me all the time.
thank you for asking. And yes, thank you for a little bit of conversation and a lot of conversation that brings new people onto our calls and listening to the calls every week. The easiest, simplest, and most profitable way to contact and become involved with the work that Ben and I are doing and Ben and our partners are working through in masterminding is simply put into your browser askmarkhorn.com, and that will take you to a very simple form. Simply fill out that form, and I will be in touch with you, get you involved in our Mastermind Leaders Ning group, which is a private space, if that is something that appeals to you, to move forward in masterminds, but we are here to move you through the coaching process with masterminding. So askmarkhorn.com will bring you to a simple form. Simply fill that out, hit submit, and you will be in my personal address book, and we will make contact from there.
Fantastic. And Mark, is it appropriate for us to share with the folks the exciting meeting that we're going to have tomorrow with our friends Travis and Jimmy, or is that me leaking some information that I really shouldn't have?
I think that might be you leaking information that you shouldn't have.
Well,
and I say that more for the drama than anything. So.
Okay. would you mind sharing with our friends where we are in terms of being able to land our first corporate client to provide positions for mastermind directors to lead mastermind groups for a corporation that does distance learning for a living?
I would be happy to, Ben. Thank you. Our meeting tomorrow afternoon with the wonderful folks of Jimmy V and Travis is very much anticipated, very excited about, because that will bring us one step closer to being able to move across with the Mastermind Director program on a corporate level and share in that respect. So we are infinitely closer than we were last Thursday, and we will certainly know more at the end of business tomorrow as to what is going on, and we'll update all of our Mastermind Director candidates directly via email as we've been communicating. So, Ben, what would you like to add to that?
It's an exciting opportunity because as we gain corporate clients for our Mastermind Directors, A, there are some of you that it's going to be appropriate for you to become our Mastermind Directors for those corporations, and B, for some of you that know of opportunities for other companies or experts, well, most experts that run their own company are corporations. There are two different revenue opportunities here for our listeners. One is to become Mastermind Directors within the services that we provide to these companies. The other is if you know of companies out there that need back-end training, if you know of companies out there that need a better way of doing back-end coaching, what we're providing for companies is a turnkey back-end coaching program because our masterminds are a form of self-instructing classrooms. When you lead your mastermind from a corporation's perspective, if you've got, for instance, with gravitational marketing, they're teaching entrepreneurs and small business owners how to do more effective marketing. And for Jimmy V and Travis, when they say yes to our opportunity, we're going to be handling everything for them. All they're going to be doing is simply giving us a list of people that said yes to them. We're going to be following up with contact. We're going to be giving Jimmy V and Travis, you know, weekly updates in terms of the progress for those groups. And what that means for Jimmy V and Travis is that if they don't want to look at what's going on, they don't have to. And if ever they want information on the progress of their students, it's there at their fingertips. Because think about the data that we collect from our mastermind participants. When our mastermind participants say their name and then they say whether or not they accomplished their SMART goal, then they say the category of their question, then they ask a question. Well, imagine if a group like Gravitational Marketing that has hundreds of people that are active learners with them, or if we think about like Eric Stafford and Michael Morgan and Alan Bechtold, who recently had over 1,000 people come into their training program.
Yeah.
Well, when you've got over 1,000 people that have come into your training program, if we were able to have 10% of those join a back-end coaching program that is a mastermind, those 100 people that would be getting the hand-holding and doing the one-hour-a-week weekly mastermind, from their perspective, it's completely a self-instructing classroom because the mastermind students are learning how to do group creative problem solving. And so from the owner's perspective, from Jimmy V and Travis's perspective, it's a self-instructing classroom. Now, my friends, our mastermind directors, you that are leaders here and part of our Leadership Academy, you know that it's not truly a self-instructing classroom because the role of the mastermind director is to engage the group and make that happen. From your perspective, it's not self-instructing at all. From your perspective, you're the one directing the energy of the group. From as the mastermind director, you're the one that's welcoming the folks. You're the one that is making sure that people are able to flow and go in ease. You're calling on people by name and saying next and saying thank you, okay, your time is up, and things along those lines. From your perspective, it's not a self-instructing classroom at all. But when somebody like Travis, who had the vision to see how a mastermind could be a hands-free, turnkey, back-end coaching for him, from his perspective, we do everything for them.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. From the perspective of a distance learning company, from the perspective of the group that would hire us to provide the masterminding for them, the mastermind groups, from their perspective, it's turnkey, it's hands-free, it's set it and forget it. And from their perspective, what we're providing for their students is a self-instructing classroom. Mark, I think that that's the heart of what a back-end coaching can do for the experts and the distance learning professionals that are out there, is that what we give them is a self-instructing classroom.
Yes, very detailed in your answer, Ben. I appreciate that so much, and I hold the intention that everyone listening on our webcast side and on the telephone side also took away what you brought as something very valuable as another income stream for a professional mastermind leader. I'm so excited to be involved in this part of the work, and also in the interpersonal part that we advocate and are helping people to earn monies with that way. It's just a beautiful experience to be a part of. So let's go out. We have a raised hand, and let's take our question here from our caller in the 702 area. Caller, state your name, the category of the question, and your question, please.
Yes, is this am I on?
I do believe you are, yes.
Okay, this is Richard, and I'm grateful that you guys are still doing this.
Fantastic. Richard, what's the category of your question, please?
The category of my question is upselling and getting more business from the group.
Okay, and what's your specific question, please?
How could you, or how would you, add training or mentoring or coaching to this mastermind experience if the people wanted more?
Interesting question. Ben, may I toss that to you, please?
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mark. And Richard, thank you for the question. The twofold things here. One is that the construct of the Carnegie Mastermind that we're teaching is one in which we're giving people a pitch-free environment. And so there's one perspective in which we would see it as a non-selling environment. Now, when you're running your own mastermind, which you are welcome to follow the Carnegie construct for your own masterminds, it is a favor to the folks to be able to offer them continuing education. And we want to make sure that those that are masterminding week over week feel as though the week over week masterminding is a safe space. So what you might want to do is in the closing comments, you might want to say to the folks, if you're interested in learning more about, you know, X, Y, or Z, you can meet me over on this teleseminar area. You want to make sure that the mastermind space is a safe space for folks where that they feel that they can come there week after week, and that the primary purpose of the mastermind group is for the participants to mastermind. And it's a great favor to them to be able to provide them with the resources for them to be able to achieve more of the goals that they want in their life. And so the more comfortable you get with selling, the more comfortable you're going to get with simply providing people with opportunities that are appropriate for them. One of the things that I've noticed in terms of master sales folks is that they follow an ability to inspire people's dreams, where the folks that they are talking to feel compelled to ask for more information. Because the moment that somebody asks for more information is the time that you aren't perceived as selling. So if you can inspire folks to ask you for additional information, then they won't see you as selling. They won't feel that as pressure. The gentle art of persuasion comes from seeking to inspire people to live into their dreams. And one of the most powerful ways to direct people is an acronym, ENACT, E-N-A-C-T. E stands for encourage their dreams. N stands for notice their buying criteria. A, allay their fears. C, confirm their suspicions. And T, help them throw rocks at their inner demons. Now, here's how that works. Richard, when you hear that somebody says that they have a dream and you feed their dream back to them, one thing that you might notice is that as soon as you hear that somebody has a dream, like, for instance, if somebody says, I'd like to be a best-selling author, and you say back to them, ah, you'd like to be a best-selling author. What often will come out of somebody's mouth when you feed a dream back to them is all of the criteria that would need to be met in order for them to see themselves enjoying the dream that they spoke. Now, in traditional sales, they refer to that as the person speaking their objections. One of the things that I've found to be true is that what we focus on expands. And I see little good coming from seeing somebody as having objections. I prefer to see what they're saying as them externalizing their buying criteria. It's not objections. It's simply the criteria that they need in order to believe in themselves. So when you hear that somebody has a dream and you feed them back their dream, many folks will tell you what are the criteria for them to believe that they can enjoy their own dream. And when you notice those criteria, you're going to want to find some way to capture all of them. Because what I've discovered is that until somebody has really fleshed out all of the criteria that it would take for them to be able to realize their dream, and unless I feed somebody back what all of those criteria are, then I find that the person doesn't really feel heard. Many times that if that process is rushed, the person might feel sold or as if they're being sold. And while people enjoy buying, few people enjoy the sensation of feeling as though they're being sold. And so the E is encourage their dreams. When you hear somebody say a dream, you feed their dream back to them. N is notice their buying criteria. And you want to ask folks, what else would it take? And there's no quote-unquote selling there. It's simply getting them to be able to come up with an exhaustive list of their criteria for how they might be able to imagine themselves enjoying that dream. The A is to allay their fears. You know, if somebody were to say that they'd love to be a best-selling author, but they can't see themselves making the time to write a 150-page book, you know, to let them know after feeding back to them all of the criteria that they said, you know, one of the things that I saw a friend do is that they were interviewed by a professional who asked them key questions and had a structure of asking questions so that in fewer than 4 hours, two-hour sessions, the person was able to ask questions, transcribe the answers, and edit that and turn that into a 180-page nonfiction book that was of substantial quality and well reflected the expertise of the person they were interviewing. So that's allay their fears. The C is confirm their suspicions. There are times that you need to simply validate their concerns. Because if somebody says, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to be taken advantage of, I've heard out there that they're editors and predators and those publish-on-demand types of things, they appear to me sometimes as scams. You know what? There are predators out there in terms of the book publishing game. Absolutely. And what I've found is that those that take out ads in the back of magazines that have something along the lines of, can you draw this cartoon figure, or do you have an idea for a best-selling book, that the ads in the back of the Inquirer is not the place to go to find quality business referrals. And that the best thing to do is to look at the track record of the clients and companies. And when I've got some friends that have helped folks in publishing that have consistently been able to bring them to the Amazon bestsellers, that's the type of result that you want to look for if you're going to choose to go on a print-on-demand type of publication process. The last part is help them throw rocks at their inner demons. And this is a reiterative thing. You know, the allay their fears is part of helping them throw rocks at their inner demons. Anyways, Richard, I know that I went into a little diatribe there around selling, and I hope that you might have gotten what you were seeking within that question. Do you have a follow-up question since you allowed me to rant for the last 10 minutes here?
I think that your answer was fantastic. and I'm trying to absorb and hold on to everything you said. Let's see. Do I have a follow-up question? I suppose you've really answered it when I take the time to think it through. I'll tell you back what I get from everything you said, including your last question to me, is that I need to be thinking of them and subtle and ask them if there is any way that I could additionally help them.
Absolutely.
And maybe in the closing moment, say, by the way, and mention that I might be doing something on a teleconference at a certain time and date, something like that.
Exactly. And in your closing comments, if you invite them to reach back out to you, here's the key that I've gotten from Kenrick Cleveland around the secret to sales. And the secret to sales is that when you can inspire somebody's dream, when you can encourage their dreams, when they ask how to take additional action, that's when you're no longer selling.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be as simple as you're saying to them, if anybody has any questions about additional resources or about how to do something not covered here, please email me directly or please post a question to the blog or whatever is your preferred means of communication.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Very good. Yeah.
Thank you
very
so
good.
Much for your great question, Richard.
Yeah, thank you. You did good.
I'm grateful for your good energy.
Okay.
And let's go out to our call in the 503 area. Caller, your name, your category, and your question, please.
Hi, Mark. This is Lynn.
Hi,
and
Lynn.
My category is SMART goals.
Okay, and your
and
question, please.
The question is, from the perspective of a mastermind leader, when a participant gives a SMART goal, it's something that they have absolutely no control over. They like to sell a book or something like that. Do we, since we're not invested in the goal, do we let it stand, or do we guide it back to something that's within the participant's control?
Lynn, that is a fantastic question. And this is what I hear you asking me. If a participant is at the SMART goal portion of our mastermind session, and they ask or they state a very vague SMART goal or a very vague goal, is it incumbent upon the mastermind leader, the professional mastermind leader, the mastermind director, to step in and make a point of clarification? Is that what you're asking me?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And my answer is yes. We are invested in the SMART goal as far as a goal that's specific, measurable, actionable, that's realistic, and time-bound. To that, we are invested. We are not invested in their own goal, but we want to help move them forward through that SMART goal process. And I have done in my masterminds, I know Ben, I've heard Ben Mack do it in his masterminds, and I've heard many of you do it in your masterminds, where you'll help someone be clearer about their SMART goal so that they come away with a goal that is specifically, it's very specific, it's measurable, it's actionable, it's time-bound to be completed between the time they set the goal and the next time the mastermind meets, and it is just realistic, okay? So, yeah, that's my answer. Does that help you, Lynn?
Yes, it does. Specifically, the problem I got into was somebody making a goal to make X number of sales. You can, you know, contact X number of clients, but the actual making of sales is totally out of your hands.
Okay, well, I would hold that as the client's goal and support them in that goal of making those sales. I'm just going to check the criteria and make sure that it is clear for me that it is a SMART goal, so I can make sure it's clear for my mastermind member to know that they have a SMART goal.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay. Does that clear it up a little bit?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Fantastic. Ben, anything you would like to add to that?
Thank you so much, Mark. And Lynn, there's a beautiful distinction that you're seeking there, which is whether when somebody's SMART goal is out of their control And that's a wonderful distinction that is regularly addressed in neurolinguistic programming. Is if somebody is seeking to do something that is not within their control, then that can lead to a sense of disempowerment because they can't control the outcome. Now, when it comes to sales, like making a certain number of sales, if the person is committed to doing whatever it takes, if the person is committed to being unreasonable with themselves in terms of the efforts that it takes, then selling a certain number of books can absolutely be a fantastic SMART goal, because the person might find that it takes more tweets or more posts and more blogs or talking to more people on the street than they might have imagined. If they set the goal like to sell 15 books within a week, fantastic. That's a wonderful SMART goal to be able to sell 15 books. Now, if they are seeking to sell 15 books on Amazon and they're not putting action into those sales, then you're absolutely correct. That is a recipe for them to not hit their SMART goal. Many times what I've found is that there are folks that hold a perception that if they simply will something to be, that it might happen. And while that might happen occasionally, if those that, for instance, I'm a huge fan of dream boards. I'm a huge fan of the law of attraction. And there are some people that put a winning lottery ticket on their dream board. And if winning the lottery happened to be a contest of who could manifest the hardest, I think the world might look differently. And I'm not ruling out that ain't the way that the world works, but it hasn't been my experience so far. What I've found is that when preparation and mindset meets action, we're most likely to bring about the results that we desire. So if somebody says that they want to sell 15 books or however many it might be, that's fantastic. A wonderful question might be, you know, the following week or since the SMART goals come at the end of our group, it's not really a space within our mastermind construct to create the distinction. But we certainly want to help them and ask in what ways that they are seeking to stack up the actions to make that happen. Lynn, I love how you are creating distinctions about how to best serve your mastermind participants with the stacking of their SMART goals. Thank you for a great question.
Thank you for your answer.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Ben, Lynn. I thank everyone who's asking just great questions, what I perceive as great questions tonight. To ask your question, hit *2, and we will make one last call out for questions. And we are coming up to the top of the hour, so hit *2 if you have an additional question or if you have yet to ask a question. And Ben, let me check our webcast side and see if another question may have come in over there. And it looks to be we are good here. And let me look on the and no hands are raised. So let's go ahead and close up our Mastermind Q&A number 9 tonight. Ben, any words that you would like to leave us with before I close with our dedication?
I'm looking forward to our dedication. Mark, I'm slightly disappointed because I thought Nitzan was going to be asking a second question. It sure sounded to me as if he had an intention of re-raising his hand and asking a second question.
Ben, I have Nitzan right here. Let's open the line and ask. That's wonderful. I appreciate you bringing that back to my attention.
Mark, I'm slightly disappointed because I thought Nitzan was going to be asking a second question. It sure sounded...
I believe Nitzan is listening to us on the Instant Teleseminar. Nitzan, if you have your question, grab your telephone and please hit *2, and we'll give you a moment here. I quickly want to let folks know, again, tonight, last night, for our professional mastermind leaders contest, so get me your numbers as to the masterminds that you've held since Sunday, July the 12th, okay, and get me those numbers so that we can get you the paid-upon agreement. And Ben, yes, Nitzan has a question.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, Nitzan, yes. You are live.
Oh, lovely, thank you. I have a question about silence in a mastermind. That's the category. Silence in a mastermind. I find I have to choose as a mastermind director whether I let the mastermind work itself through the question and give them the opportunity to be silent and maybe not come to anything, or I can stir them up and try to fill the silence.
Okay, what's your specific question, Nathan?
My question is, do I have to, is there a particular way of dealing with silence that you recommend?
That's a wonderful question. That's a wonderful question, and let me take a quick add-on to that, Nathan. I'm going to mute you because I believe we're getting some background noise. What my recommendation is, in my opinion, silence is as much a part of the communication in the mastermind as the voice is. So I'm going to certainly, depending on the mastermind, depending on the situation, I am going to both allow silence, and I am also going to look for opportunities that I can engage those members in the mastermind to continue the conversation and continue to create the content. Ben, what would you like to add to that for Nathan?
Mark, I wholeheartedly agree with you that silence is often a signifier that people are reflecting on the question, and we certainly don't want to rush them. We certainly want to gift the group with the space to work things through, because the goal of the mastermind is the group problem solving. The beauty of the mastermind is, of an intrapersonal mastermind, is that the folks learn to help each other. And Mark, I've heard you do some wonderful things as a mastermind leader where when the silence extends to a point where it feels as though the group is stuck, Mark, there are times that I've heard you ask questions like, in what ways might we, and that's such a wonderful phrase, in what ways might we, you know, in what ways might we help Nitsan? In what ways might we help Richard? You know, and that simply prompts the rest of the group that now is an appropriate time for them to contribute. And Nitsan, it was so wonderful for you to ask that golden question about silence. And Mark, that's one of the things that we want to make sure that we note to cover in our curriculum that we're developing with Kim Burney and Lou Gallo. Yeah. And it's something that I might bring up tomorrow, because tomorrow is the first time that I work with the team at Albany State University for them to create their mastermind. And I'm so excited that Albany State University has invited me to work with them on creating mastermind leaders within their community, and they're going to help us bring through to fruition the good energy of Good Energy Day. We're going to be using masterminding on Albany State University's campus in order to have a core of folks that has a broad reach, because the way that we're constructing it is that we're doing a weekly mastermind among mastermind leaders. So when we have a team that I believe now is six folks, when we have a team of six folks who are all leading masterminds that are between 3 to 7 in quantity, what that means is that we're going to have approximately 40 folks that are connected together to be able to mastermind, where the mastermind leaders are investing 2 hours a week, and we're able to, with 2 hours a week, organize, orchestrate the efforts of approximately 40 people. Now, if you try to have 40 people in a single meeting, that often gets unwieldy. And having one group of one mastermind of six folks allows for all of their questions to be answered within our one-hour construct for the Carnegie Mastermind. And as those folks lead another mastermind that's 1 hour, that's the way that we're bringing an amazing amount of well-orchestrated efforts into a larger institution. And with that, Mark, I'm grateful for the good energy that we've had on this group tonight, and I'm looking forward to our closing covenant. And I'm going to pass the baton back to you for closing comments and then to bring us on home.
Thank you, Ben. I appreciate that so much. Our last question comes in tonight from Doreen. And Doreen, the category would be marketing. And Doreen has a question about what is working better for mastermind leaders, squeeze pages or sending people directly to an offer page or a sales page. Doreen, I am going to tell you to put that squeeze page in front of a sales page. In fact, put that squeeze page in front of everything that you're doing, whether it's your blog or whatever it may be, because you want to have that ability to continue that conversation with that person. So you will want them on your subscriber list, on your fan list, so that you can continue to communicate. As far as which one's working better, you will have to ask those who you are seeing those pages from, and I would suggest to post that up in Ning and bring it for us, all of us, that way so that we can all benefit from that experience. So thank you for that question on our webcast site. I'd like to close out tonight by stating our covenant that we use in the masterminds that we are conducting as professional mastermind leaders. I now have a covenant in which it is agreed that the mastermind shall supply me with an abundance of all things necessary to live a success-filled and happy life. I dedicate myself to be of maximum service to my fellow human beings, to live in a manner that will set the highest example for others to follow, and to remain an open channel of service. I go forth with a spirit of enthusiasm, excitement, and expectancy. Thank you all for being here. We will talk with you next week, the same time, the same place. Good night, everyone.